Okay, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. This certainly is, we find in this passage of Scripture at least three duties of church members concerning their spiritual leaders. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 22 isn't directly, but it's indirect. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. I suppose there's a specific application to all of these. I think we could make, we could have fun with it, you know, salute all them that have the rule over you. I find that it's always interesting to see which door people go out after the morning service. And when some people don't want to hear what I have to say or going against my advice, and they're used to go out that door, I will find that they will start going out that door. And the Bible says, salute them that have the rule over you. It doesn't say avoid them. Don't avoid them because you don't like what they have to say. Because of your conscience, maybe you should get your conscience right and then you wouldn't have any problem going through the door. You know? It's kind of interesting. Mr. Griffin used to tell me when he used to be the main greeter, he says, I can tell what's happening in the people's homes spiritually when they come to the church. And they might be real nice and happy talking to me, but the kids don't want to talk to me. They want to avoid me. Well, this is kind of the same principle. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Remember them. Well, obviously, there's a specific instruction here. Maybe it doesn't really apply very well to Baptists, because you know, in Baptist churches, you can just go on in life and forget about your spiritual leaders. And in this case, they were probably being exhorted to take care of their ministers who in the past have taught them the Word of God. But notice it says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now that's an important word, the rule over you. The Strong's Concordance will say that this word means their job is to lead you like a judge or a ruler or an official, that they have official authority. Official authority, and the authority is in the Word of God. Now notice it says, he's spoken unto you the word of God whose faith follow. You know, this is a pretty important truth. And I wish that I was not as, hadn't failed as much as I have, but there is a principle here that a pastor is not merely teaching the facts of the Bible. He's teaching the Bible and teaching you how to live it. And the real result is that you should be following basically how he lives. Now, a lot of preachers are afraid. I know a preacher, and he has matured a lot, but very excellent man. And early in his ministry, he was afraid to tell the people the exact specifics and apply the Bible specifically to how they ought to live. In other words, their family was successful. Their family was generations of preachers. They raised their children successfully. But he was a little bit timid of telling the people exactly how they ought to raise their family, because he knew they wouldn't want to hear it. They wouldn't want to hear it. Now, you think that's the way it's supposed to be? Think that the preacher should keep back from the families the keys to raising their family for God? But most preachers don't do that. You know why? Because most people don't like someone how to tell them how to run their family. Do you know that? Most people don't like someone telling them how to run their family. And really, your family is what you really believe. I mean, what you let your kids do, that's what you really believe. You say, well, I don't know, I don't like that, but you let your kids do it. Well, obviously, you don't really believe it's wrong. Now, so we see this principle of, and I think that maybe you should think about this. I hope to outlive all of you, but I don't think I will. But you know, the Bible is saying, you know, when you have a pastor, and when he's old, just don't, and he's all used up, don't kick him to the side and say, too bad, we got it, we're going to take care of somebody younger now. I think that's one of the applications. Obviously, the second application is, remember what they said. Remember what they said. You know, that's kind of like a principle of children. You know, what's the idea? You know, a child grows up and he gets, he's his own home. And so now he can do things the way he wants. Let me tell you what, that's about as foolish as you can get. That's about as foolish as you can get. Remember them. You know, if I croak tomorrow, I hope you obey this word. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. You know, one of the big errors of today is the ism of the hour is newness. Newness. Young preachers want to do it new, new way. That's a terrible sin. And it's straight from the devil. You know what? Young people ought to be trying to recapture the power and the strength of those who have gone before. Not to tread some new path because they're really rebels in disguise who want to do it their way. Now, verse 17 is a little bit more specific. Your duties to your spiritual authorities. Obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. Now, notice there are some specific truths here. Obey them. In other words, submit to their guidance. Submit to their guidance. That's what it's saying. Now, what is their job? How are they to guide you? It says, they watch for your souls as they that must give account. What are they trying to guide you? You know, most people think about the present. They don't think about the future. Most people think about the present and they don't think about the future. Now, you look at this passage of Scripture, what is the Bible saying? It's saying that the heart of the duty of the pastor is to think of the future. The future. The future of their lives, of their families, of their children, of their day that they will stand before God. You know, most people are just interested in today, aren't they? They want their way today. They don't want someone interfering with their plans today. You know, obviously a dad has a little bit more authority over his children than a pastor is able to exercise over a church. But you know, at times in the past, some of my children, they would come to me and they would ask me something, and boy, they want to answer right now. And I said, I can't give you an answer right now. I have to pray about this. And I'm not going to give you an answer until I have peace from God. I'm not going to give you an answer until I have peace from God. My job is not to give you my answer. My job is to give you God's answer. And I'm not going to give you an answer that goes against the Bible, that goes against my conscience, and goes against the Spirit of God and the peace that I have a responsibility to make sure I get from God. I don't care. You can pay me $500,000, try to bribe me, but I'm not going to change. You want to do something? And there's a lot of money at stake? Or whatever? Or a lot of whatever? No. No. I have a job before God. And I'm not going to sacrifice the day that I stand before God and throw away my conscience. And I'm not going to give in to somebody just because they're putting a lot of pressure on me to give them the go-ahead of what they're doing because that's what they want to do. Not at all. I got to get peace from God. Because the main issue is the future. The main issue is, where's it going to lead? What's going to be the result of this in the long term? You know, I am convinced that most people, most of us, we only think about today. We want things to go our way. We want to do it our way today. And we don't really care how it turns out 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. They don't really care. They just want everything to work out okay today. But notice it says obey them. What does that mean? That means follow their guidance. That's simply what it means. Follow their guidance. Why should you have a guide if you aren't going to follow them? Why have a shepherd if you're not going to follow the shepherd? Why does God even have pastors? You know, people like preachers, they don't like shepherds. You know what the difference is? Preachers don't have to take seriously the responsibility of giving account to God about the lives of their people. Now, you go to a typical Bible church, you got a preacher. You don't have a pastor. Oh, he's there for funerals and, you know, things like that. But he is not there to shepherd those people spiritually. Why? Because the deacons tell him what he can preach and what he can't preach. He's not a shepherd. He is a hired preacher. That's the kind of church people want to go to. They're not going to be meddling in the affairs of their people because they do not take seriously their calling from God. Now, notice it says, obey them that have the rule, the lead, the guidance over you, spiritual guidance. And what? Submit yourself. And this is a good word, you know why? Because it means to yield or surrender. That's kind of really what it's all about, isn't it? And, you know, I'm going to tell you that I'm never going to be perfect, but I tell you what, my leadership isn't going to lead you in the wrong direction. Might not be perfect. It's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. And you know, it's hard. It's hard. That's kind of hard. Now, I think there is great wisdom in multitude of counselors. But you know, let me tell you what. Most people, when they go to another preacher, that preacher only knows 10% of you and your story. And you're asking them, and I find this, that people usually give that preacher, they give them the information that they want to give him. So they can get the answer that they want. That's almost like a child coming home from school and giving a report, and the parents believing every word they say. Why should you do such a thing? Why? Because they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. You know, I do make some serious mistakes, wasn't in my many years, I did marry somebody that was against my better judgment. I did marry someone that was against my... didn't violate biblical principles, really. I mean, they weren't divorced or anything like that. But I violated my principles because I did what I shouldn't have done. Pressure. Oh, man. Could you imagine if I would have said no? We would have had Exodus for sure. My better judgment said no. And they are now divorced. And I say, I failed in my duty. I have that on my record, that I married somebody that divorced. It says, they watch for your souls. I'm sure that this one party would have been their family and all their friends would have left if I said no. But I'm sure that person today would say, I wish you would have said no. For they watch for your soul. As they that must give account. Yeah. That must give account. And to who? Who am I to give account to? God. To give account to God, to do, to fulfill my job for the spiritual welfare and the future spiritual welfare of all my people. And that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Yes. It's a very grievous thing. Grievous thing. That person is grieving, their family is grieving, but I'm grieving too. It says, for that is unprofitable. Yeah. It was spiritually unprofitable. Unprofitable for their future. And you know, I think this is important because, you know, our thinking is a sum total of everything that's been put in our brain since we were young. And, you know, if people don't have their mind thoroughly filled with Bible truth, there's still going to be a lot of wrong thinking. And I realize that that's a problem. And I just say, you know, sometimes I was feeling a little bit shocked the last couple Sundays in adult Bible class. And maybe it's just because you're sweet and quiet. But as we talked about, I asked questions, well, where is this in the Bible? And where is that in the Bible? You know, and things that people ought to build up. You know, sometimes we need to be a whole lot more serious about learning God's Word. I think a lot of young people come to Sunday school and even to church, and they just come to kind of be entertained. And then they come to be about 17 or 18 years of age, and then they think they know all the answers. But all those years, they haven't taken any Bible into their mind, so their mind gets changed. They still think like an unsaved person. They think like an unsaved person because their mind isn't filled with Scripture and with truth and application. And so, this is a serious truth here. Verse 22, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Of course, the word suffer in the King James is allow. It means receive it, accept it, surrender to it, allow it to come into your life. And verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. They're your friend. Spiritual authorities are not your enemy. They're not your enemy. They're your friend. And their purpose is to guide you for the future into that which is right before God for your betterment. And you know, that's a whole lot different than the philosophy of a lot of churches. Philosophy a lot of churches is, you know, get a crowd. Get as many as you can. Avoid any controversial subject. Avoid it. Because, you know, the whole purpose of church is get a crowd. And if you heard this illustration before, but you know, at Elmbrook, must have been 20 years ago, they're having a big to-do about having, and I think Dobson and that Focus on the Family had a lot to do with this. They were encouraging churches to have this promise ring that fathers would give their daughters at, you know, 14 or 16, and it was a big thing, you know, a promise ring, you know, promise that you're going to be pure. And they're having this big thing, and I suppose these churches still do it. And I tell you honestly what I said to myself. I say, I know they mean well, but it is almost a joke. It's a realm of religious self-deception. A dad gives his daughter a promise ring. Well, I guess it would be in the right hand, you know. Promise ring. I'm going to be pure. But the preacher doesn't have enough guts to tell him how these girls are supposed to dress. And you know what? If you don't dress right, young lady, you're feeding your flesh, your passions. And they don't have the guts enough to tell these kids what is wrong music. And you know what? If you're listening to the wrong music, whether you know or not, you're feeding your passions. And we can go on the whole list of what they won't teach them. And they're saying, oh, stay pure, but it's okay. It's okay what music you listen to. It's okay, you know, what you do on a date instead of teaching them what the Bible teaches. And it's okay what kind of clothes you wear. It's okay to go to the dance. In fact, go to the prom. Absolutely, it is just horrifying. It's religious deception. Oh, you know what? If they preach against dancing, I suppose 20% of the church would leave. I suppose if they preach against modesty, and they really preached it and they really enforced it, probably 80% of the church would leave. I suppose You know, if they preached against, which one did I say? If they preach against rock music, you know, the other 18% would leave. What would they have left? Wouldn't have much, would they? But you know what they might have? They might have some godly young ladies that are pure, that know how to raise a godly seed when they get married. They'll make a difference for God for generations to come. That their kids would be raised in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit and hear the call of God and want to serve them. You see, there's a big difference between the whole issue of what is the job of a pastor. And you know, and we're just being honest here, but you know, you don't want a pastor when it comes to your problem. Now, obviously, that's not true because you wouldn't be here otherwise. But that's the way it is with people. They want a pastor as long as it doesn't deal with their problem. Well, guess what? That's why you have a pastor. Because if you wouldn't have a need in your life, I wouldn't have a job. And it's not a burden. It's not a problem. I'm glad to share your burdens with you. I'm glad to put them on my heart for your sake, because I care about your future. That's my job. That's God's calling, the job of a pastor. Now, if you want a preacher, there's a lot of good preachers out there. But there's something more to the job than preaching. Spiritual guidance for the future. These are specific truths. Now remember, everybody wants a pastor except for the area that it deals with them. Then they don't need a pastor. Isn't that how that works? Everybody's pastor, you're the greatest. But, what they're saying, but don't touch this area of my life. I don't want guidance in that area. And it only takes one of those areas to reach the casualty level. Only one of those areas. And then, if there's a casualty, you're hurt. It's unprofitable for you, and we all grieve together at the judgment seat of Christ. But usually, before that takes place, verse 24 comes into place where, sorry to say, people hightail it out of here. It wasn't too long ago, one of our teachers dealt with a young man. And the parents keep coming to me complaining. And I knew I didn't dare say one thing about that young man. No, I didn't dare, boy, because, boy, parents protective of this young man. Oh, no, you don't touch my little boy. You wouldn't want to know the terrible results of that running from authority and running to another church. Because they didn't want their little Johnny to be picked on by the authorities. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Now here's some specific truths in the Bible. And we're in Hebrews, we got there. So I probably would be very hesitant to preach this message. But we got to Hebrews 13. So I got the go-ahead from the Lord. Amen. Preach what the Bible said. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, now these are serious things because our souls and our spiritual welfare is very important. And Lord, the devil is alive and well. There are dangers lurking. We live in a day of apostasy. We live in a day in which the isms of Satan are permeating Bible Christianity. And Lord, there's probably never been a day in which people need a pastor more than in these days. And yet, Lord, it's sometimes very, very difficult to trust other authorities. To believe the message of our shepherds, because they are fallible. And so, Lord, we need your grace to be able to take these truths, apply them to our lives. And Lord, I pray in your grace that it would be so that we could all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and it will be a day of joy. A day of victory, a day of success. Because we have realized the blessing of your plan. Help me to be a good pastor. Help me to love my people. Help me to have wisdom. Help me understand your word well. Help me have the leadership of your Holy Spirit. Help your people to understand the importance of these truths. I pray that your people would recognize the importance and make that decision to let their pastor be their pastor and guide them in life where they need to be guided. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.